You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Hawks Football Show on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and at shoresportsnetwork.com.
And we welcome you back from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End. Each and every Tuesday night, we do this from 7 to 8 o'clock, talk some Monmouth University football on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show. Some good information there from Tim Ream, the strength and conditioning coach for Monmouth, worked through the football program in addition to some of the other teams here on campus. And a perfect segue into this guy. He is the starting right tackle for Monmouth, Brandon Maxwell, 6'5", 300 pounds, maybe 301 after that plate of wings just got down. Tim left and he said these guys are worried about calories. I look over to my right and there's a massive plate of wings going on over there.
You got to keep your strength up.
So, Brandon, let's talk about the before we even get into the season so far. You come into Monmouth, you redshirt as a freshman. What did you weigh when you came in?
I came in, I was pretty light, not as much as I wanted to. I was 265 coming in.
So you've put on a good 30, 35 pounds since you've been a freshman. And that's good weight, right,
that's
Coach?
That's good weight. That's very good weight.
And I have Tim to thank.
The transition that you've got to make, you know, again, just to kind of follow the theme of what we were talking with Tim, how difficult is it to come in after, I'm sure you were, you know, starter probably on both ways in high school, and you probably played 3 years of varsity football. You come in and you're basically told, hey, you're not going to play this year. We need to get you a little bit bigger. And even though 260 might cut it in high school, 260 at right tackle doesn't cut it here in Monmouth. So you're going to basically kind of kick around for the year, put weight on, work out, lift, and get bigger.
Yeah, that was pretty much, coming in, it was different. Very quick, like the speed of everything, the tempo was a lot faster. But the seniors that were ahead of me, I pretty much took mental notes. Just learned from what they did, and they helped me out a lot. They were a great group of guys, and they just really they helped me out a lot.
How much can you learn as a young guy, you know, a freshman or even a sophomore, as you start to maybe make your way into the rotation a little bit from guys that are ahead of you? Even though, I mean, you're there to, at some point, either take their job or take over for them, depending on the circumstance. Is there that good information that gets passed along guys from the offensive line?
Yeah, they were quality guys. They really, like, talked to us at a good level, you know. Like, we were able to talk just like guys, you know. We came together, and they were just really helpful in everything they told me, like my techniques, which angles to take and, like, how to block and stuff like that. They really helped me.
So now you're a couple of years in. I mean, you're in your fourth year here. As a redshirt in that first year, so 3 years now playing. You draw the start towards the end of the season last year. I would imagine that kind of sets you up to know that, hey, this is going to be my job for all of 2012. Does your mentality change at all, or is it each and every week? You know, I know last year you kind of were in the two deep in the rotation for the whole time, but going into the offseason this year, do you know that it's kind of your job to lose?
Yeah, coming in, I mean, I know there was a lot of weight on my shoulders, and I wanted to prove that I was able to do my job. The right guard, he helped me out a lot. I mean, he was always there for me. Any questions I asked, he was always there for me all the time.
The experience that you guys have on the offensive line was something that was a focal point in the preseason, and I think it's kind of carried through throughout the first five games of the year this year. I mean, you look at yourself, you mentioned Dino Molina, Mike Kunchek, Josh Patterson, Mike Murphy. They're all guys that are either listed as seniors or fifth-year seniors. How important is experience to that group?
It's very important. We've grown together over the years just as a very cohesive group. We came together, we've learned what we need to do, and we know exactly what we need to do. We have the confidence to go out and prove that.
You know, Coach, the other thing that brings in with that experience, too, is not only are they veteran players in their position, and that experience means so much, but they also have the ability to play other positions. Dino had played right tackle. He's now playing right guard. He could flip and go over to left tackle if we needed him to. Mike Murphy's our left tackle. He could be a center if we needed him to. Brandon could play the left side last spring.
Yep.
So he's used to playing on the other side. So it's a group that, you know, is very stable. But yet, on the other hand, we could mix and match those pieces and still feel that we would have a very successful line.
You know, Coach, I know that you had said, and Coach Gabriel, the offensive line coach, had said this may be the best or one of the better offensive lines as a group. Is it talent? Is it experience? It is a combination of both, and just the makeup of this unit that maybe they know each other so well?
I think it's a combination of all of those things. I think it's a combination of size. This is the biggest offensive line we've ever had, tackle to tackle. It's a group that has a tremendous amount of experience. They've got a lot of games under their belts, and they've been on the field together before. I think they're all very athletic for an offensive line. They move well. They all have good feet, and they're all fairly long bodies, meaning they're in that 6'4", 6'5", range. They have long arms, and it's the type of, you know, offensive lineman that you look for. When you combine all of those things and the fact that they're a hardworking group and they're a very, very intelligent group. And I'll say that to Brandon here. They do well in school, but they're intelligent from a football sense as well. When you put all those things together, you have what we're looking at as a very successful line.
Brandon Maxwell, senior offensive tackle, giving us a few minutes here on the Kevin Callahan Mama Football Show. Brandon, among that experience, I mean, defenses are always doing new stuff. They're always changing things around. There's a lot of moving parts on that side. Do you still see things now a few years into college that you don't recognize or you don't know how to block?
I feel very confident now. I have a lot of games under my belt. I feel really confident in that. There still are looks that, like, it gives us problems, but, you know, we practice hard, and the way we play is how we're going to practice. And it's just we come together as a group. And when we do that, we just, like, we see everything, we call it out, we make all our calls, make sure before the ball is even snapped. So we know exactly what we're doing, and we just take it from there.
The other thing that's very important, too, is that when a group has played together, they communicate very well. So when they come off the field and they're on the bench and they sit down with Brian Gabriel, our offensive line coach, they can give him information, and it's very accurate information in terms of what they're seeing out there. You know, is the five technique playing heavy on me? Is he loose on me? Is he stunning inside? And they all talk the same language. And by giving correct information, by giving accurate information, it's easy for the group to make adjustments.
You know, Brandon, we had Mike Hunchek on a couple weeks ago, and I asked this question, and I think it's a good question for any offensive lineman we might have on. Do you feel like playing offensive line is kind of a no-win situation? I mean, if your team does well, hey, that's great, but it's on offense. Someone scored a touchdown, someone threw for 300 yards, somebody ran for 100 yards. It's never the line did such a good job, but yet when you make a mistake, holding penalty, illegal block, the quarterback gets sacked, someone gets dropped in the backfield for a two-yard loss, right away it's, well, that guy didn't make his block. How do you guys deal with that kind of pressure back and forth?
Well, you know, football is a team sport, so whenever we all win, whenever we get a win, it's all of us. It's all us coming together, and, you know, it happens. We get penalties, but we look forward and we look past that, and, you know, we just move on.
Last question before we let you go. There's a plate of wings on the table, and all five of the starters are there. Who's the first guy to grab one, and who's the last guy to get up from the table? And it could be two different guys. Who's getting the food faster than anybody else?
I mean, we're a group. We're a group of five, so, I mean, we split it like gentlemen.
I don't know about that. That's the party line right there.
I'll tell you what. Who can eat more than anybody else? Who's the last guy who says, I'll take five more wings?
We have yet to figure that out.
Yeah, that sounds like that could be a good show one night. We could just put those guys at their own table for an hour, right? Ring it up on Coach's Bill, and let's see who can eat the most. Brandon, continued success. Obviously looking forward to getting you guys back on the field this week against Cornell. Thanks for swinging by, giving us a couple minutes, and best of luck for the rest of the year.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brandon.
Brandon Maxwell, starting right tackle for Monmouth. We step out. We'll take a 60-second timeout. When we come back, we'll talk some defensive football with senior outside linebacker Billy Louch. We'll do it all after this quick break on the Kevin Callahan Mama Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
Hey, Monmouth University, Sonic Drive-In is now open just minutes away from campus in Tinton Falls. Sonic burgers, breakfast burritos, tots, onion rings, real ice cream, hot dogs, and thousands of drink flavors are only 15 minutes away. All drinks and slushes are half price every day from 2 to 4 p.m. Bring your ticket stub from today's game to the Tinton Falls Sonic. Buy one burger and you'll get one for free. Open until midnight, the Tinton Falls Sonic is located right off Route 35 in the A&P Shopping Center.
Need to charter a bus for school trips, concerts, sporting events, or more? Call Suburban Transit, a Coach USA company. It's the official bus company of Monmouth University Athletics and has offered the finest charter bus service available with safety, luxury, and reliability for over 50 years. New state-of-the-art buses will make your trip relaxing and enjoyable, so don't delay. To charter a bus, call Suburban Transit today, 800-222-0492, or visit online at suburbantransit.com. Suburban Transit, driven with pride.
You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Hawks Football Show on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and at shoresportsnetwork.com.
Got to love when we have a guy from Wall on the show. About time we pull some alma mater on, right?
Not some Manasquan guys, too.
Ah, we got to talk Crimson Knight football here tonight. We forget about Monmouth for a little bit. Billy Louch, who is a senior outside linebacker here from Wall, went to Wall High School, which, of course, I'm an alma mater of as well. Billy, first of all, good to see you. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
I think we have to start the interview, unfortunately, with how you feeling.
Feeling better, getting better, you know. The bye week helped out a lot. It's frustrating not being able to play the Albany game. I'm just trying to get improved every day, get in training room rehab every day, work out with the trainers, work out with him, you know, just improve my health.
Suffering a foot injury a few weeks ago against Sacred Heart, and I know the defense has certainly missed you. How difficult is it for you? Because I think you went up to Albany with the intentions of, hey, I might be able to give it a shot. I don't know how far you went along in warm-up before you decided, Tim decided, coaches decided, collective decision, hey, I just can't do it today.
Going into the week when I first got injured, we thought the injury was a lot worse than we thought it was. But then we found out from doctors it wasn't that bad. So it was hurting, but I wanted to try to be a leader on the team and come out in Albany, warm up with the team. Hopefully there's a miracle that happened, but it wasn't. I would have been hurting the team just as much being out there than it was not even being out there.
Coach, how difficult is it for you guys to have to tell a guy who wants to be out on the field today you can't do it?
Well, I think they usually know. They usually know before we do. They know inside when they're not at 100% or when they feel that they're not going to be effective in their play. And, you know, while Bill made a valiant effort, and he went out and he went through the warm-ups, and you could see he was trying to make the most of it and trying to make it work. He knew that it wasn't going to work, and he's the first one to say that. It was actually Bill who said, you know what, I can't do it today.
So then you got to sit and watch a tough game, right? I mean, is it even harder for you to know that you're not out there?
It's harder not being out there when you see stuff, after watching the film too, watching some plays where you think you could have made a play when somebody else maybe didn't. But it's just frustrating too when you know you can't do anything.
One of the great things that Bill did, you know, we were speaking of the Albany game, Matt, and you know, he was on the sideline there, and as the defense would come off the field, he would get with the linebackers, talk to the guys, not just the guys who were playing in his place, but all the linebackers as a group, because, you know, Bill is a leader of that group. He communicates, you know, very well with Dan Sullivan and Colin Cooper, two of our younger players, as well as Anthony McDonough, who was playing in place of Bill. Mm-hmm. And he was able to settle them down, communicate effectively with them between series, and that's something that's very valuable.
And you know, Bill, I don't know how you feel about that role. I mean, there hasn't been a coach or a player that I've talked to about you that hasn't said the defense isn't the same when you're not in there. And I think that dates back even to last year. You know, you had a season-ending injury last year, a season ago with a knee. And when you left, the defense kind of took a wrong turn. And I think the coaches have all recognized, as have your teammates, that when you're there, things seem to be a little bit better.
You know, I think maybe it's just from a veteran aspect. I've been playing this is my fifth year now, my third year in the system. and just being able to know football and the different techniques that Coach Bo teaches us and have an understanding of the game and just playing the position at maybe a different level than somebody and just doing all the hard stuff helps me out that maybe somebody else doesn't.
So how hard is it for you to think, okay, we have Cornell this week. Maybe I should sit out again so that I'm ready for conference play in 2 weeks against Bryan, or I'm going to do everything I can to get back on the field this week.
I'm doing whatever I can to get back on the field. I'm a fifth-year senior. I have 6 games left in my college career to play football, and I'm trying right now. I ran today a little bit. It felt good, and we'll see Saturday when it comes along. If I can't play, we got 5 more conference games that I know I'll be ready for, but I'm trying to get back to this week and get a win after a couple losses.
Pretty important to get him back in the lineup, Coach.
Huge. I mean, he's such a mainstay in our defense. He's a calming influence on the field. He's a very intelligent player. He kind of directs our defense in terms of getting us lined up, and he's got the athletic ability to make a lot of plays. As you mentioned, a year ago when we didn't have him out there, there was no question that we missed him. And, you know, Billy's working very hard to get himself back out there, and, you know, I'm sure he'll be back out there soon. And as Bill mentioned it, you know, these guys, these seniors have 6 games left. They want to take full advantage of each and every one of those opportunities, and he doesn't want one of those opportunities to go by without having a chance to play in it. So I know he's anxious to get going as well.
Bill, let's talk. We're here with Bill Lounch on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show about your road getting here to Monmouth. Kind of interesting and unique, right? I mean, you graduate at Wall, you have a good high school career.
Yeah.
You wind up at Erie Community College
up in Buffalo
for a couple of years while you play up there. And then, yeah, I mean, you can only go to community college and play for 2 years. Then you kind of need a new home. Your big brother's already here playing. Was that a big part of the decision coming back home?
Well, coming out of high school, I always wanted to come here, talking with my brother and the coaches. I always felt like this was the right fit. And then when I was at my junior college, I always stayed in contact with Monmouth. And my brother did help with that. You know, he always had contact with the coaches and always gave an update how I was doing. And I just felt like it was a perfect fit, and my brother did actually help out with that a lot.
I mean, it is kind of interesting anytime you get a junior college transfer in, but you have his older brother who was on the team already.
Well, as Bill said, we were very aware of what he was doing out at Erie Community College. I mean, we had followed his progress through his freshman and sophomore year out there. Obviously, Ron was on our team at the time, and we would communicate regularly with Ron about how he's doing and, you know, what's Bill up to. And you know, so once he finished with the community college, it was a very smooth and easy transition to get him in a Monmouth uniform.
I know you're a communications major because I see you every once in a while and in a class when you're good enough to swing by. That's a joke, obviously. You're always in class. You are always right on time and ready to go.
I'm there before you are.
That's true. You are. I'm usually the last guy in the tour. How about plans for after college?
Plans? I'm just focused on football right now, just playing these last 6 games school. I got another semester left. I got to find an internship. I'm just trying to find something in the communication field.
I mean, do you see yourself as a communications worker, or do you see yourself maybe getting into, because, again, listening to coaches say it's so important to have you on the field, you're almost like a coach on the field. Do you see yourself maybe sticking with the game and getting into the coaching profession?
I would definitely like to stay with the football aspect of the game. Football's been my life for 16 years now. I love this game. It's all I know. And I definitely would like to take a look into coaching, but if something else comes up, you never know.
Get him on the staff. Let's hire him. Graduate assistant next year. All right, one question before we let you go. What was the first network to broadcast the Olympics?
Well,
you better know for tomorrow because that's going to be a question on the test.
NBC, I don't know.
No, you better go home and study a little bit.
I was, but I'm stuck doing this.
Rune Arledge, right?
we're looking forward to getting you back on the field. I'm looking forward to seeing you, whether it is this Saturday against Cornell or coming up in the very near future. Take advantage of every one of those games. I know how important it is for you. And, I know your team and your coaches are looking forward to getting you back. Thanks for coming by tonight.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, Bill.
That's Bill Lounch, the senior outside linebacker from Wall, New Jersey. We'll take one more timeout. We'll make this a 2-minute break. When we come back, Coach and I will talk some Big Red Hawk matchups as Cornell, the opponent this Saturday for Monmouth. We'll do it all after this quick timeout. You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
If you're injured during a sporting event, wouldn't you feel better if your physical therapist was an athlete who knows what it takes to get back in the game? At Atlantic Physical Therapy Center, all their physical therapists are former high school and college athletes who are focused on returning injured athletes to optimal levels of performance. That's why they're the official therapy provider for the Lakewood Blue Claws. Atlantic Physical Therapy Center has the technology, expertise, and motivation to get you back in the game without losing a step. With offices in Toms River, Manchester, Freehold, Shrewsbury, and Little Egg Harbor, visit AtlanticPTCenter.com.
Join the all-new WOBM AM Clubhouse at WOBMAM.com and enter to win great prizes such as an Apple iPad 2, a Toshiba 50-inch LCD HD TV, a Keurig Platinum Brewer, $500 cash, and much, much more. So join the WOBM AM Clubhouse and play games, answer trivia, get prizes, all at WOBMAM.com. Powered by Meridian Health, taking care of New Jersey.
How do you turn $1,000 into a $5 billion business? Hear what self-made business mogul and television star Barbara Corcoran has to say about it at An Evening with Barbara Corcoran, Thursday, October 11th in Lincroft at Brookdale Community College's state-of-the-art events facility, the Collins Arena. You know Barbara Corcoran as real estate contributor to NBC's Today Show and a shark on ABC's hit TV show Shark Tank. Now learn Barbara's rags-to-riches story of how she started her own tiny real estate company and turned it into the largest in New York City. And of course, how that led her to becoming the TV personality we all know as today. General admission tickets are just $20 or upgrade to VIP for just $75 and attend an intimate gathering with Barbara before the show. Plus, get a copy of her latest book, Shark Tales, catered food spread, preferred seating, and more. Tickets are on sale now at WOBMAM.com. An Evening with Barbara Corcoran is made possible by Durso Wealth Management Group at Morgan Stanley, Gary Gelman Images, and Mary Kay Cosmetics.
You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Hawks Football Show on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and at shoresportsnetwork.com.
And we are back to put a wrap on this week's Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show with some time to spare tonight. We'll get into this week's matchup against Cornell. Monmouth coming in with a mark of 3-2 overall, and conference schedules don't really matter much going into this one as a non-conference game. Cornell at 2-2. And, you know, Coach, I've had a hard time figuring this team out a little bit. I mean, I'm sure you have way more detail on it than I have, but I don't know if this is a good football team, an average team, or just a team that's somewhere right after that. And run through what they've done so far this season. They start their season so much later in the Ivy League as well, waiting until the 15th of September. They lost to Fordham 34-27, then beat Yale 45-6, then beat Bucknell 15-10, which is a totally different kind of win when you score 15 as opposed to 45, and then last week get blown out by Harvard, who I know is a very good football team, 45-13. So it seems like they've just been on a roller coaster from the beginning of the season.
Well, they have, and you know, when you look at what they've done, first of all, let's start with the most recent game against Harvard. Harvard's a top 25 team. They're excellent on both sides of the ball. They have explosive players offensively. They're a very, very tough defensive team. That score did not surprise me all that much, knowing how good Harvard is. You know, the win over Bucknell was one where they played a great defensive game. They really limited Bucknell's offense. They scored enough points to win and really had the ball down in the red zone a number of times where they didn't come away with points. A couple of missed field goals, an interception, and they moved the ball a lot more, a lot better than that score would indicate. The Yale game was a complete blowout. They dominated from start to finish. They had over 500 yards of total offense. They ran the ball. They threw the ball. They did really pretty much anything they wanted to do in that game. And the Fordham game was a back-and-forth football game, as the score would indicate. Actually, Cornell had the ball to end the game, but turned it over on downs as they were driving down toward the end zone. And so it was a game that they very easily could have won. They're a team that, as you said, they're 2-2 on the year. They've got a terrific offense, led by the quarterback, Matthews, who's one of the better quarterbacks that we will see this year, if not the best. He was the Ivy League Offensive Player of the Year in 2011. And what makes him so good is he's incredibly accurate. His release is very fast. He doesn't hold the ball long. And he's able to put the ball in the hands of some very capable receivers. They have been playing without their best receiver, Shane Savage, who was an all-Ivy League pick a year ago and also a preseason All-American, who's been hampered by an injury that occurred during the preseason period. He's appeared in every game, but he hasn't really been as effective as he was a year ago. They haven't run the ball extremely well, but they're going to throw it 60 times a game. Their average rush per game is somewhere from 10 to 12 runs, and other than the Yale game, which they ran it a great deal. But they're going to put the ball in the air 55 to 60 times, and they do it quite well.
And Jeff Matthews is their junior quarterback. He has a whole nother year after this one, and I know in some discussions I've had with you about him, you wouldn't be surprised if not this April, but the following April. He's a guy that's getting serious NFL consideration. He's that good.
Everything that we've heard is that, you know, he's projected as a top three-round draft choice. When he does come out, he's getting an awful lot of attention. Everybody that we talk to in the Ivy League and in people who he played not only this year but a year ago has said, you know, what a very talented player he is. And when you look at the video, it verifies all the information that we're getting.
When you think offensively, you just mentioned they like to throw the ball a ton, not run it so much. Defensively, I know a 4-3 team. Do they do anything kind of interesting or unique? And the reason I ask that is because it's unlike any other matchup Monmouth has this year, because it's the first time the two schools have played against one another.
First time we've ever played. You know, obviously Cornell from the Ivy League, and, you know, they've had football for 125 years compared to our 20 years of football. They've won 5 national championships at Cornell, an original member of the Ancient Eight, and have some very, very impressive alumni. As a matter of fact, I asked our team the other day how many guys knew Ed Marinaro. I had the opportunity to watch Ed Marinaro play for Cornell when I was in high school. He graduated in 1972, and in that year he was the runner-up in the Heisman Trophy ballot to Pat Sullivan from Auburn. Ed Marinaro then went on to have an acting career.
Yep.
Hill Street Blues.
Hill Street Blues.
If you remember.
Yep. Yep.
That's where he started and appeared in a number of different movies. But they're a program that has a very long, a very deep, a very rich tradition in football. They've got a great stadium. I know our players are excited to go up there and play. And any time that we play a program that has such tradition and has had football for so long, I try to educate our team on the tradition that this team has.
Shoalcloth Field, I believe, is how you say it. And I know it's a fairly big stadium, right? I mean,
25,000.
Right. I don't know how many they'll have on Saturday. But it's one of those unique type settings where you go to kind of an old Ivy League school. I know you mentioned they've won some national championships, the most recent of which, I think you have to go back to the 30s, right?
That 39.
That was the last one that they won. So it's been a while since they've been in the they've been in the national scene. But when you play in a big atmosphere like that, is it almost, hey, we got to kind of tune out where we are and just worry about the grass that we're playing on rather than everything else around?
Well, you do when the game actually starts and when you get between the lines. But I think it adds so much to it, and our players will appreciate and experience that much more if they know something about the history and who played there before them and what other great players were on that same field, regardless of the year it was. And I think that's important for them to know that. And, yeah, once the game starts and the whistle blows, none of that matters because they're not playing the tradition. They're playing those guys that are lined up across the line of scrimmage from them. But I think it helps the overall experience if they are aware of that.
A couple of minutes to go here on the Kevin Callahan Mama Football Show. Hawks will take on Cornell this Saturday, 12:30 kickoff, so about a half hour earlier than we're normally on with a 12:15 pregame show. No real reason for the 12:30 start. That's just when they start their games,
That's
right?
That's when they play their games.
How about this? You're playing a school for the first time ever in Cornell from the Ivy League. How do you make that matchup? I mean, do you pick up the phone and say, hey, coach, you want to play in a couple of years?
Well, actually, we scheduled this game, I believe it was 5 years ago, 4 years ago. It's a home-and-home. They will return the game to Monmouth next season. This is the first Ivy League game, Ivy League opponent that we've had here at Monmouth University. Next year we pick up Columbia in addition to Cornell. It was one of those things. They had an open date in 2013, and I think it was probably 2008 or 9 when we scheduled it. And I said, yeah, that's a great game for us to play. They were, you know, they were certainly in favor of it, and so were we, and I think it's a great matchup.
You know, there's so much talk and changing going on between conferences and teams moving up and down. Is it good when you get to take on a Patriot League team or an Ivy League team, kind of step out of the NEC rather than, you know, I think some coaches, and you have certainly never been this way, look to go down a little bit and play someone to get an easy win. I think Mama's idea has always been to play up. And when you can say we're playing a school from the Ivy League, it's kind of a big deal, right?
Well, your reputation is developed by who you associate with, and I believe, and that's true in anything, and it's certainly true in scheduling. I think by playing teams, you know, whether they're from the CAA, whether they're from the Patriot League, whether they're from the Ivy League, it puts our program in a different light. When people pick up the New York Times on Sunday and the Cornell alums in California pick up the paper and see that they're playing Monmouth University from New Jersey. And I always want our program to be associated with the great programs and great conferences out there. And so that's why we schedule the way that we do.
All right, couple of things real quick before we wrap up. Bill Lauch was here tonight. Good to go this weekend or decision yet to be determined?
He's listed as hopeful.
Neil Sterling.
He's good to go.
Pat Gray.
He should be good to go. Practice today. Didn't have any lingering effects from that I know of.
Josh Patterson.
Good to go.
Anybody else that I'm missing? That seems to be the big four as of late.
Everybody's always good to go when you talk to the coach on Tuesday night.
Oh, boy. I can't get anything out of anybody sometimes on this show. It's so frustrating. Well, I'm looking forward to making the drive up. It's a good, solid 4.5-hour drive.
It's going to take you five.
But it's a spot where, like you said, it's tradition, and sometimes in college football you revel in a little bit of tradition, but hoping that first meeting between the two schools goes the way for Monmouth. Coach, good show. Always good to see you. Looking forward to Saturday.
Thank you, Matt.
Enjoy the rest of the week. Let's hope for some good weather on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday for the ride up. As we say, good evening here from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End. Our thanks back to Phil Harding in the studios tonight and to our guests, Tim Ream, Brandon Maxwell, and Bill Lauch. For the head coach, Kevin Callahan, Matt Harmon saying so long from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End. Saturday, the information, Cornell playing host to Monmouth, 12:30, start time 12:15. We are on with the pregame show, 12:30 kickoff. Looking forward to this one. Should be a good one for Monmouth as they look to go to 4-2 on the year. So long from Jack's Goal Line Stand. You've been listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
You've been listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Hawks Football Show on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and at shoresportsnetwork.com. Join us again next Tuesday when we broadcast live from Jack's Goal Line Stand in West End and talk Hawks football. For more on your Monmouth Hawks, visit gomuhawks.com and shoresportsnetwork.com.